Can you imagine a $2 billion bridge being built between the island state of Tasmania and the smaller island of Bruny? This is the central premise in the latest novel by Heather Rose. Now, Heather won the Stella Prize in 2017 for her exceptional novel, The Museum of Modern Love, which is all about the mystery of love, art, and everything in between. This new book, though, is very different. It's a political thriller and is set in the near future. Heather joins me from Hobart. Great to talk to you again, Heather.
Hello, Sarah. It's lovely to talk to you again too.
Did you set out to write a novel completely different from the style of The Museum of Modern Love?
No, I didn't. I don't ever set out to make them so different from each other. It's just that that's the way the story comes. And I'm sort of in a world of having to deliver the story in the medium that it seems to be coming through in.
Yeah, because you've written crime fiction. You've even explored the fable as a genre.
Yes. The River Wife, yes.
So this book's about Bruny, this beautiful island known for its produce and as a low-key holiday destination. What's your attachment to this place?
Well, I'm a sixth generation Tasmanian and my family have been going to Bruny for a very long time. We used to have a block of land there when I was a child and we took many, many day trips. And then when my own children were born, I took them down there many, many times. We used to hire a shack and, you know, play about on the shallows and go body surfing at Cloudy Bay. And yeah, it's been a big, big part of my life, as it is for many of us who live in Hobart, because it's our little, well, it's sort of a little escape from our own island.
And in this book, you put it in the centre of a political conspiracy.
Yes.
Now, I thought the idea of building a bridge was far-fetched until I read that Boris Johnson wants to build a bridge connecting Northern Ireland and Scotland. How did you come up with the idea of a $2 billion bridge connecting Tasmania with Bruny?
Oh, I was walking my beach, which is on the Derwent River, and from the
end
of
that
beach.
So this is
where
you live now?
Yes, where I live now. And it's where you look from the end of that beach, you look straight at North Bruny and the Tinderbox headland, which is where the bridge is sited in the novel. And there was a kind of cloud structure and a beam of light, and it looked exactly like a bridge had been built, a massive bridge. And I thought, oh, I wonder why the bridge is there and what would that mean and what would have happened. And then almost instantly the characters started turning up and off I went, you know.
You had a message from the heavens.
Literally.
Well, the story revolves around one family, the Colemans. John is the Premier of Tasmania. His sister Maxine is the opposition leader of Tassie. And Astrid, their sister, works in conflict resolution with the UN. Why did you sort of cluster the story around this very tight-knit political family?
Well, the truth is that I've had that family since I was 21, Sarah. I wrote a short story a very long time ago when I was doing a course in Melbourne, a long, long, long time ago, and I never quite mastered the short story, and it's an uncomfortable form for me. And this family came through and I thought, wow, I like you. I like the complexity of you. I like the way there's a certain level of polite conversation at the dinner table, but underneath there's all this subterranean sort of difficulty and complexity that's going on between these people. And I knew I wasn't mature enough at the time to capture them, but then suddenly they turned up again in Bruny. I followed, Astrid, the main character. I saw her arrive at the airport. I followed her home with her sister Maxine, and then suddenly I'm at the dinner table with them and I'm thinking, I know you people, you're the Colemans. So gosh, it felt incredibly familiar for me, and I think that was one of the joys of writing the novel, that I felt like I finally had time to explore this family and I understood the world in a richer way, a way that enabled me to give them full rein, really.
But the way you're talking about, Heather, it's as if you're stalking them. But these are creations of your own mind.
I am always like a fly on the wall when I'm writing. I feel like I watch my characters and I have to learn about them and I have to investigate them. Sometimes they're very difficult because I don't understand their worlds, and then I have to do an enormous amount of research. So I researched this book so heavily on current affairs, foreign policy, the 2008 GFC, so many things in this book got deep research, including, of course, how to blow up a bridge.
Yes, because that's kind of the opening, this bridge which is under construction. it's attacked by terrorists. It doesn't destroy the bridge, but damages it enough.
Yes, and I had to reach out to some people who had contacts in the military, and I got back this extraordinary 3-page report, which at the top says, "We are gathering this as a fictional scenario."
I can't believe they provided you with that information, regardless of whether it's fictional or not.
I gave them all the specifications. I had to scale it down from the Golden Gate Bridge, and yeah, it's quite a thing to blow up a bridge. That's what I learned.
Okay, and interestingly, you're researching the past, but this novel is set in the near future. What sort of time frame are we looking at?
Look, for me, it was set in sort of 21-22, because that's the next election cycle here in Tasmania, and also federally just beyond that, which obviously comes into play in the plot.
Mm. But by that time, cyclones are making their way further south down the coast.
Indeed. It was quite a shock to me to realise that the water temperature only has to get to 26 degrees before we are vulnerable to cyclones.
Hmm. So Astrid, the central character, has been brought on board to keep interest groups calm after this bombing of the bridge. Her problem is that she's been away from Tasmania for 20 years. And the question the reader is asking is, why is she really back? What were you exploring there?
I think it's beautiful to explore the nature of home, what we think of as home. Is it the place where the people we love are? Is it sometimes the place where we simply adore the landscape and cannot escape? It calls us, it brings us in. There's been so many sea changers I've met over the years who've come to Tasmania and simply been magnetised by the light and the landscape. And as a Tasmanian who did spend a long time away, I also had that experience, you know, some 20 years ago, of not intending to come back and live in Tasmania, but coming back thinking it was probably a temporary thing, and then also falling in love again with the light and the seasons, and indeed the community that is here, that's such a rich community, such a multifaceted community, and full of very, very interesting people. So I think that for me, what I was looking at with Astrid too is, what price would you pay to protect your home as well?
Well, the other question is, why has Tasmania borrowed buckets of money from China's Belt and Road Initiative to build this bridge? Is this how you see the future? China becoming ascendant, America losing its sway?
Look, in the book, that's the scenario, because there is an isolationist president in the White House in his second term.
You know, third term, Erdogan. I thought it was.
Well, let's not go there. That's truly scary. We've got a thoroughfare to the sea for ISIS, which has a renewed caliphate. So the world is a little bit different from what we know now. But nevertheless, it felt important to, this was a novel of ideas that are in currency right now. So it felt important to pursue that. I mean, the Victorian government, for example, has signed up to the Belt and Road Initiative. Pakistan, South American countries, Pacific Islands. It's become quite a thing, this Belt and Road Initiative. And it's a great vehicle for discussing what are the ideologies at work in foreign governments, but also what are the ideologies at work in our own government. And should we be more concerned by those?
Well, the control of the Chinese Communist Party, of course, is very big in the news at the moment, with interests in land and resources. Is this something you feel strongly about, or are you just reflecting the forces that you are reading about?
Well, I had this incredible protagonist called Astrid Coleman, as you know, a conflict resolution specialist. She's seen very grim things out there in the world. She's seen the dynamic at work on the international stage. And she comes back to Tasmania and she's quite jaded by the world beyond. And these are the issues that are current for her. And so I found myself, Sarah, quite honestly, writing things that I would cringe about when I read them on the screen. And I'd think, oh, I can't say that. And then I'd think, well, Astrid said it, so I guess I have to say it, because if there's one thing I know after 8 novels is that you don't argue with your characters. It doesn't go well if you argue with your characters, especially with Astrid, who, as you know, is a formidable woman.
Yes, because I was thinking, you don't really want to be accused of being anti-Chinese, but maybe that's just something politicians need to be concerned with. It's not the concern of a novelist.
Well, I think it's very important that we make a distinction between the Chinese Communist Party and its ideology and the many, many wonderful Chinese Australians who have come to live here and enjoy this lifestyle and actually commit and contribute to everything that is the fabric of Australia these days, as so many other cultures have. But we do have to be very conscious that there are more extreme ideologies at work that we see in many governments now.
Now, Heather Rose, there is satire here in this novel, Bruni. There's a politician called Aidan Abbott, or as, as he's known, Aidan Abbott. There's Barney Viper, and the Bruni Friends Group is known as the BFG, which I can only think of as the Roald Dahl story. Is Tasmanian politics ripe for satire?
Well, Sarah, as you know, it's a very small community. We all know each other. And that is one of the joys of living in Tasmania, is that we do know each other and we do have to get on with each other because we have very different views. And, you know, I have friends who have very different views to me about politics and, you know, all sorts of things. But that's the richness of our community here, is that we can have such considered and thoughtful and kind conversation about such things, even though we might be opposed to that. But the fun of... satirising politics, Tasmania does make a beautiful microcosm for that. And of course, it's a very global story set in a very local setting, Bruni. So it was a great deal of fun to bring to bring the Australian government and the Tasmanian government under the satire spotlight.
Well, because I usually associate Tasmanian fiction with the Gothic, but here we have a political thriller slash satire. So it's sort of shaking up the genres too, isn't it?
Well, I'm happy about that. I've never found Tasmania a Gothic place, so I've always wondered why we have such stories, quite honestly.
And so the forces that are affecting Bruni, as you have it in your novel, are they sort of an example of the political forces affecting Australia in miniature, would you say?
And indeed the world, yes, very much so to me. And I loved Astrid's very global perspective on that, and how she doesn't take any prisoners, does she? She just lets forth on pretty much anything that she thinks about the world and about politics, about, you know, the way we deal with each other politically and personally. And I loved having a character that had so much free rein.
There's a term that's used, Heather, solastalgia. What does that mean?
Yes, it's a new word, and it describes the kind of depression that comes when you realise where we are in the world. I mean, Greta Thunberg is a classic example of solastalgia, someone who is deeply saddened by where we've got to in the world as a result of ignoring, you know, ecological damage, climate change, the climate emergency. You know, that's becoming more pressing every day. And it was a strange book to write in that, you know, I wrote this between 2015 and 2018, and so many of the threads in the novel have now become current in a way that I, you know, any novelist would probably be pleased to see their speculation playing out. But I don't feel that way in this case with Bruni, because it's quite a troubling vision, and it's tough. It's tough to watch that. So that feeling of inadequacy, powerlessness that comes with watching climate change destroy our world, that's solastalgia.
And I've read a few books lately that are set in the near future, exploring, I guess, solastalgia in different ways. Why do you think there is this movement that writers are responding to?
Well, I think it's evident. I think it's evident. No matter what our politicians say, you know, there's nothing to see here, as our Prime Minister suggested quite recently. We do see things. We do see the change. We do see our days being strangely hot here in Tasmania, for example, through winter. We see things coming into bud that don't usually come into bud for another 6 or 8 weeks. We're seeing agricultural cycles radically changed on the mainland. We're seeing farmers who've had green now have only brown paddocks to observe. You know, we've had our rainforests on fire in Queensland. We had our rainforests on fire here in Tasmania over summer last year, and lost most of our leatherwood trees. And so leatherwood honey is no longer, it's a scarcity now. And so we are seeing these things as human beings. And no matter what our government says and pretends that it's not happening and continues to support big business to do things that will continue to damage the environment and in fact wreak havoc on the environment, we as individual citizens in Australia are saying, no, we don't feel comfortable. We can sense there's something wrong. And those of us who live close to the land, like many of us do in Tasmania and many of us do in rural Australia, we can see it with our own eyes and we can feel it. So I think it's very important that we are not dismissed by our politicians on this, and that we encourage conversation, and that we demand a better strategy from our governments to deal with what we're facing.
Now, Heather, you speak very passionately there, and I did feel like your politics are quite close to the surface in this novel. Was this a risk? Were you or not worried about it at all?
I wasn't worried about it at all, because I think what happens, what I love about Astrid as a character is, you know, she's such an altruist when we start the novel, and she's in fact politically nonpartisan, completely nonpartisan. And it's only in the coming home and seeing the kind of erosion of, civil liberties, agricultural security, all sorts of things that she's observing as a person newly returned, that starts to shape her thinking. And, you know, if that's in alignment with some of my beliefs, not all of them, but with some of them, then, you know, I guess that's the challenge of being an author.
Mm. Now, Heather, you won the Stella Prize for the Museum of Modern Love in 2017. Just as we wrap up, how did that impact you as a writer?
Oh, Sarah, it changed everything. Mm. It was such an incredible gift. I'm so grateful to the Stella Prize and the work that the Stella Prize does out in the community and literacy and education for young women, inspiring young women. And for me as a novelist of, by then, seven novels, to have that recognition just catapulted me from my very devoted and loyal Tasmanian readership and really quite a small national readership into a not only a larger national readership, but into an international readership. And, you know, that's what every writer wants, is the opportunity for my work to be read more widely, to find more readers. And it has had an extraordinary effect on my life. It's allowed me to write full time for the last 3 years, along with the Australia Council grant that I got for writing Bruni. And that's made it possible for the very first time for me to be able to be home every day and write, and not having to be out in the world running businesses as I was before that.
Yes, well, I look forward to seeing what you write next. Maybe a romance, perhaps, Heather.
Well, I like to think that Bruni does have a bit of a hot romance.
Yeah, well, there is
romance,
and same in the Museum of Modern Love, I know.
Actually, the next one is a historical fiction, so I'm going backwards.
Well, can't wait for that one. Heather, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Heather Rose is the author of Bruni. It's published by Allen and Unwin. This is The Book Show. I'm Sarah Lestrange.